Lord willing, finish up our series on Bethel and Womack, Andrew Womack and Bethel. I'm about ready to be done with it anyway, but wanted to go ahead and finish what I did have prepared. So let me find where I'm at. Okay, let's just jump right into where I left off. We were in the midst of talking about, we've been on and off talking about how these churches and all are promoting new revelations, you know, hearing from the Lord, this and that. I talked a little bit about it Sunday morning, used a personal illustration with that. I also have other personal illustrations. I don't want to spend too much time there, but where people prophesied something that with regard to me, and it was absolutely false. And I could testify because it was regarding me, and plenty of witnesses would say that that prophecy was absolutely 100% false. So, when we allow Scripture to say what it reveals, we see that the verses are proclaiming. Oh, see, this was Ephesians. I'm sorry. This was Ephesians 3, 8, and 9, where they misquoted that. I think we already talked about where they didn't misquote it, but in the book, The Physics of Heaven, they just put a lot of dot, 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 you know, put the sensational stuff and then put the dot, 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 and then twisted it to basically say that the mysteries of God. Well, let's just read it. Let's read Ephesians 3, 8 through 9. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So what's he preaching? The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. What is that mystery? Who created all things through Christ Jesus. What is that mystery? It's the gospel. It was hidden, right? All the things pointed to it, the sacrifices, the whole priest, the sacrificial system, the lamb, the goat would point to Christ. The priest would point, the high priest in particular would point to Christ. The temple, the tabernacle would point to Christ. The Sabbath and on and on and on, right? But Bethel and Bill Johnson and all, they say, well, here's what they do at the beginning of the book. They say, they take those two verses and chop it up. And this is what they come up with. Saints are to bring light to them. Bring light. Saints are to bring to light the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created. So, they take it all out of context, and then they use that to say, hey, again, don't be like the Pharisees, be more like Jesus. Jesus said, you Pharisees are just all into the law and the Word of God. Nope, it's over here. It's outside of the Word of God. But we looked at that last week, and it's absolutely the opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But you refuse to see that the Scriptures point to me. They're talking about me. So he's not saying I'm outside the Scriptures. I'm in addition to the Scriptures. He said they point to me. I'm the fulfillment of them. And then in Matthew 5, somewhere through 17 through 19, he says, do not think that I came to abolish the law. Remember, because he had just gone through a litany of, you've heard it said this, 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 but I tell you. You've heard it said this, 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 but I tell you. You've heard it said that. He does that like five times in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not what he's not saying. The law says this, but I say that. No, he said your manipulation, your perversion of the law. You've heard it said dot, 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 dot. But I tell you, and what he did was he expounded the law. In fact, it's not unlike. Many people don't get this, but in the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of it says that he went up on the mountain and sat and began to teach. Well, that is connotated with when the Lord spoke from Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments. And so Jesus here goes on the mount and teaches them. And what does he do? He takes the Ten Commandments and expounds them, gets to the impetus behind them. And so again, he's fulfilling the law. All right, so let's move on from that and get into some of this, examples. I'm looking at some notes that okay. I actually mentioned this Sunday, and I won't go over all of it that I mentioned Sunday, but because a good friend of mine who I said, I praise him. I've never not pray. I mean, I'm usually when I talk about him, I'm praising him. But you know, I don't think he realized when he was saying that. Hey, you know, when we come to the end of this festival thing, you know, God told me he wants to be worshipped. So our praise team is going to finish it up. And I'm like, so what's our bluegrass band, Chopped Liver? They're not praising God. They're not, when they sing the blood of Christ and this and that, that's not worship, right? And I told you, and I joked around, and I will talk to him about this, but I'm going to tell him, well, the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said he likes bluegrass better. And so what can he say? He can't say, well, no, the Lord didn't tell you that. Because then if he does, then I can say, well, guess what? The Lord didn't tell you that. See, this is all subjective stuff. No one can measure when you say, oh, the Lord, I got a word from the Lord. Let us all get our, let's write down, where are we going to put it? Between Matthew and Mark? Or, you know, you got a word from the Lord. We need to understand. And I don't know how many, was it about 10 messages, 12 messages on that, Lynn? There's audio here. If you got a CD player, DVD player, whatever, it'll play audio. Borrow Strange Fire, because it talks about, that whole conference is about the abuse of the Holy Spirit and the sufficiency of Scripture. Scripture is sufficient. The canon of Scripture is complete. If this canon is not closed, then these people, these apostles, are legitimate. And we need to listen to them. But folks, this is not an open canon. This is a closed canon. Thus said the Lord. Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God's Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel. We preach Christ alone. We preach Christ crucified. There's nothing else to be added. And what they do add is drivel. What they do add, it's so that you don't have to use wisdom. So you don't have to put on your thinking cap and use discernment and judge and think critically. No, it's just the Lord told me this. Oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but the Lord told me, so I'll do it. We've got to, and that right there will help a lot. Strange Fire Conference. Pick it up. And when you're done with it, if someone else wants to use it, loan it to them, or you can keep listening to it, because I don't think there's a line for it, but it's very, and by the way, if you go to YouTube, you can see them, not just hear them, you can see them. They're available on YouTube, Strange Fire Conference. It was 10 years ago. So John MacArthur, Johnny Erickson Tada, R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, and so forth. Really, really good. Justin Peters, great speakers, and they haven't moved a bit in 10 years, unlike the Southern Baptist Convention. They are standing strong on the truth. So sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes you have the Elijah complex, like, Lord, is it, am I the only one preaching the truth? Well, I know I'm not the only one preaching the truth, but man, when you start seeing all these other church, your neighboring churches and the bigger churches and the mother churches, you're like, oh my goodness. It's unbelievable. So, but these people are the real deal. I'm going to probably I will be quoting at least one or two paragraphs out of the book. I forgot to grab it. So, what is telling is that in the book, that is the book that we're kind of reviewing with regard to Bethel called The Physics of Heaven. For those of you who weren't here last week, listen to the thing, because wasn't there some interesting stuff in that book? I mean, New Age, this is the church. Bethel does tarot cards. They do readings, auras, transcendental meditation. The staff, one of the people of the staff laid on a New Ager's grave for hours to get his leftover anointing. They believe, they're praying for a little infant who died for their resurrection. And it's disgusting. Disgusting what they do. And they're just played on the Z88.3 airwaves all the day long. Folks, do you ever wonder why America is the way it is? It's not because a bunch of pagans are practicing their job description. It's because the church has bloody watered itself down and has no influence and is following the culture. And you wonder why the back of my hair is raised. This ought not happen, beloved. We need to stand and have a spine. So, this is also telling in their book. They said, they admit no other Christian has come up to their conclusions. Gee, I wonder why for 2,000 years the giants of the faith have never come to these conclusions. Gee, I wonder why. You think? Perhaps it's because the other Christians believe the Word of God is completely authoritative and sufficient. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. Do we really believe this? But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. What, make up new stuff? Go outside the Bible? You know, have your dreams and visions, new revelations? No, just the opposite, right? The things which you have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. How many times did we quote 1 Timothy? This is 2 Timothy. How many times did 1 Timothy said, these things, do not depart from these things that I've taught you. Don't go out to the other things that the new false teachers are preaching. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's why I kid around with you guys. Oh, I'm not done here. Two more verses. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Oh, they don't like that. They don't like doctrine. They just like the new revelations and the new visions and the new promises of God. And they don't like reproof. Don't touch God's anointed. I'm God's anointed. You can't touch God's anointed. It's just like when you say, God told me, then you shut up. You're not allowed to ask, well, I don't know if God told you that. You know what? If someone says, God told me this and it doesn't line up with Scripture, I can flat out tell them, no, God didn't tell you that. Maybe another, a demon told you. But if it doesn't line up with God's Word, God didn't tell you. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you. Test the spirits. So, for reproof, for correction, boy, I don't like getting those, but I kind of do like getting those. Because every time I'm corrected, every time somebody even mentions something, they may not even mean to reprove or correct me, but they may say something and the Holy Spirit uses it to reprove or correct me. And you guys don't even know you're doing it because you're not doing it. But what some of you may say, and I'm convicted, and you were unaware. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. See, we can't just skip over that. Because if Bethel's true and their reinterpretations of Ephesians is true, then the Bible cannot make you complete. You have to go outside the Bible to get further revelation and further prophecy. See, they don't even know what prophecy is. They just think prophecy is foretelling. 90%, 95%, maybe 98% of prophecy in the Bible is not predictive. It's just the Lord, thus said the Lord. Reminding them, this is the commandments. Go back to the commandments. If you do this, you're going to be blessed. If you do that, you're going to be cursed. That's what true prophecy is. I'm a prophet. Every week I get up and I preach the word of the Lord. I'm not making predictions, but I'm prophesying to you. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the word. Trust in Christ. If you do, it's good for you. If you don't, you're going to go off in the ditch. That's true prophecy. They don't even know what prophecy is. They think 98% of prophecy is predictive. Even Bethel and Bill Johnson fall a tiny smidgen short of spelling out that the Word of God is insufficient. But truly, when you read the book and when you see what they do, they're all but screaming out the Bible's not enough. They don't come out and say it, but everything they've said around it is saying it. In fact, in the preface of the book, they prep the reader to be ready to span their thinking wider and accept new means of mediums and revelation and experiences. That pretty much spells it out, though. More I could say on that. I'm just going to move on because I want us to finish tonight on this. They write how they and you are able to get this. Pop quiffs. You say, what is that? It's a crazy invention of people in the church. And what is that? That is speak what is non-existent into existence. And they talk about this, they preach about this. They believe in a second Pentecost and higher Christian experience on earth now. Years ago, they were on the cusp of such, and still today we're on the cusp of such. You see, you never arrive. See, that's the thing about these prophecies, and they keep making promises, but they keep moving the goalposts, right? They just keep moving the goalposts. You never get there. It's just like, I don't know when the premillennial and the dispensationalists are going to stop writing their books, and I don't know when people are going to stop buying them about Jesus is going to come, 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 1988, and then 88 books later, they're still buying them. Oh, well, I let me just recalculate. I was wrong. I was off by a few years, but it's going to come in 90. Oh, it's going to come in 99. Oh, it's going to come in 2000. That's, oh, yeah, we were 2000. Remember the Y2K bug? Oh, everybody's hair was on fire. It was almost like the pandemic. Oh, everybody's hair's on fire. Oh, their computers are going to blow up. Oh, they're dying. The Y2K bug. It wasn't even a blip on the radar. And these pastors, if you want to call them such, were selling books, selling survival kits and food packages and all this stuff. Sometimes I wish the Black Hawk helicopters would have come and beamed them up or taken them out. Bethel associates with the most, I'm going to borrow a word from Hillary, deplorable Christians. Kenneth Copeland, Todd Bentley, two of the most deplorable preachers I've ever seen or heard of. I think I was watching a documentary on Todd Bentley and how he boasted, and it's in the book and it's documented. It's in a lot of books about how the Holy Spirit told him to kick this 80-year-old lady in the face with his biker boot to heal her. And he did. Full of the Holy Spirit. And how he kicked one man who had colon cancer, he kicked him in the stomach, and the guy died within two weeks, he died. And that was down here in Lakeland. That was down here in Lakeland about a decade ago, South Florida. And boy, that was just such a great revival. But then he was found, you know, drunk and having an affair and this and that and the other. But, you know, the Lord said, oh, the Lord was just working with him that time, and now he's right back to his old ministry and everything. Folks, if I ever do anything like that, y'all need to just kick me out and make sure I don't go anywhere else. Drag the name of Christ through the mud, why don't you? Not to say that there's not repentance, but if he truly repents, you'll know it. And you know how you'll know if he truly repents? Because he'll never get behind the pulpit again. We just went through 1 Timothy and showed what the qualifiers were to be a deacon, to be an overseer, to be a leader in the church. So, let's see. I was going to read some. Maybe I should. Maybe I'll read a little bit of it. But I'm telling you, these guys are two of the most deplorable, but the others are practicing pretty much the same stuff as they are. Let me see if I have a few things here really early in the book, like in the preface of the book. It's just going into the details of what he did. It's all documented. It's on audio. It's on video. And it's just... Let me just give a little bit here. Even violent assaults have been committed in the Holy Spirit's name. Kenneth Hagin says he punched a woman in the stomach in an attempt to heal her because God told him to do so. Rodney Howard Brown slapped a deaf man so hard he fell to the ground. Benny Hinn regularly has people fall over violently. Sometimes he does this as if by magic, waving his coat or his hand. I've seen that image a million times at them. Other times he pushes them backward with considerable force. Yep, me. Didn't work though. The fact that an elderly woman was once fatally injured, I repeat, fatally injured in the process, hasn't stopped him from making this a regular feature of his miracle crusades. Unimaginably absurd acts are credited to the Spirit's influence. For example, charismatic evangelist Todd Bentley, the one I was telling you about who came down in Lakeland. And it's funny, because when he first got into the ministry, he was just a clean-cut guy and everything, and now he's like, just wall to wall. Now, nothing intrinsically wrong with tattoos, but he's just all he's like a biker, and he's like, and this was in like after he really got empowered with the Holy Spirit and stuff. It's just curious, but Todd Bentley justified his brutal healings techniques with claims like this, and I quote, and this is documented. I said, God, I prayed for like 100 crippled people. Not one got healed. He said, that's because I want you to grab the lady's crippled legs and bang them up and down on the platform like a baseball bat. I walked up, I grabbed her legs, I started going bam, bam. I started banging them up and down on the platform. She got healed. And I'm thinking, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face. And there was this older lady worshiping right in front of the platform. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The gift of faith came on me. He said, kick her in the face with your biker boot. I inched closer and went like this. Bam! And just as my boot made contact with her nose, she fell under the power of God. End quote. Yeah. But see, I'm quoting Todd Bentley and a few of these others, but what I want to communicate to you is this is not an anomaly. In the word of faith, I know you've got your whitewashed ones like Joel Osteen who doesn't go to these antics, but the theology is paired. They believe in the exact same things, but it's more and more popular, not so much in the big spotlights, but a lot of them are mimicking what Todd Bentley's doing, Rodney Howard Brown and all these others. They're doing the same kinds of thing. This is crazy stuff. In spite of such outrageous comments, Bentley was hailed by the charismatic leaders like Peter Wagner for his part in the 2008 Lakeland revival. It's a famous revival. Though his ministry temporarily stalled due to an illicit relationship with a female staff member, Bentley returned to full-time ministry just a short time later after getting divorced and remarried. Benny Hinn made headlines in the early 1990s when he threatened to weaponize the Holy Spirit and attack on his critics. I remember he said he wished he had a Holy Spirit machine gun, he would blast them all. I remember him talking about one of my heroes of the faith, Hank Hinnegraaff, and threatening Hinnegraaff's family. I'm sure Hinnegraaff was shaking in his boots. Oh, Benny Hinn's praying against my family. Benny Hinn made headlines in the early 1990s when he threatened to weaponize the Holy Spirit in an attack on his critics in a lengthy tirade during a Trinity Broadcasting Network praise-a-thon. Hinn retorted, "Those who put us down are a bunch of morons. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that says, if you don't like them, kill them." I really wish I could find that verse. "Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off," end quote. Oh, the charity. Though not as hostile as her husband, Benny Hinn's wife, Suzanne, made a media splash of her own several years later when she referenced the Holy Spirit in a particular graphic and inappropriate way as she frantically paced back and forth on stage. Miss Hinn declared, quote, "You know what? My engines are revving to go. It's revving up. How about yours? And if it's not, you know what? If your engine's not revving up, you know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enemy right up your rear end. Because God will not tolerate, he will not tolerate anything else," end quote. Don't you just wish you were at a church full of the Holy Ghost? When her antics were later aired on Comedy Central's The Daily Show, oh yeah, that's low-hanging fruit there. Hinn's lawyers threatened a defamation lawsuit, but to no avail. She had made herself a laughingstock. In reality, the only person whose character was defamed was the Holy Spirit. A plethora of those examples have been over the last several decades in the charismatic movement. There's much more. I'm gonna spare you tonight, but there's a lot more in that book. Let me look at two more things. Actually, maybe three more, because we're kind of coming to a close. Yeah. Uh-huh. It wasn't he like Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin or something like that? Is that who that is, or am I getting confused? I wouldn't listen to him myself. I don't think there's any true repentance of his preaching and word of faith stuff. Yeah. Well, that's exactly my point. Is if he truly repented and got right with the Lord, he would not be behind a pulpit. He's disqualified. Right? Well, then he hasn't repented. Okay? If I go and repent to Tara after cheating on her and losing my pastorate, but then I keep cheating on her, she's a fool to keep taking me back. Right? Some of Hinn's theology, and by the way, this is not just Hinn's, this is again word of faith stuff about the atonement and stuff. So he, that is Jesus, and I'm quoting. He's speaking of Jesus here. He says, "He who is righteous by choice said, the only way I can stop sin is by becoming it. I can't just stop it by letting it touch me, and I must become one," that is a sinner. "Hear this, he who is the nature of God became the nature of Satan when he became sin." That was Benny Hinn talking of Jesus on the cross. So Jesus took on the nature of Satan. So, bad theology, bad methodology, bad results. So the antics of such faith healers are unfortunately not new, and thus Charles Spurgeon rightly condemned. And this is, I think, the last quote that I wanted to read because after all, you're only listening to Chris Hall, but it'd be nice to listen to this guy. He was a fairly known preacher. Maybe you've heard of him, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers from 1834 to 1892. Also, during his time, I always like to add this, is that there was another heretic who was around in the same time, and he started preaching. His name was John Nelson Darby, and hence we have dispensationalism. But thankfully, Charles Spurgeon didn't buy into it. Okay, so this is a quote from Charles Spurgeon. So it's two paragraphs, just a better part of one of these pages. So I quote, "Dear brother, honor the Spirit of God as you would honor Jesus Christ if He were present. If Jesus Christ were dwelling in your house, you would not ignore Him. You would not go about your business as if He were not there. Do not ignore the presence of the Holy Ghost in your soul. I beseech you, do not live as if you had not heard whether there was or were any Holy Spirit. To Him, pray your constant adorations. Reverence the august guest who has been pleased to make your body His sacred abode. Love Him, obey Him, worship Him. Take care never to impute the vain imaginings of your fancy to Him." Oh, the Lord spoke to me. Oh, I heard from the... Oh, yes. That was my little insert. Let me back up. "Take care never to impute the vain imaginings of your fancy to Him. I have seen the Spirit of God shamefully dishonored by persons, I hope they were insane, who have said that they had this and that revealed to them. There has not for some years passed over my head a single week in which I have not been pestered with revelations of hypocrites and maniacs. Semi-lunatics are very fond of coming with messages from the Lord to me. And it may spare them some trouble if I tell them once for all that I will have none of their stupid messages. Never dream that events are revealed to you by heaven, or you may come to be like those idiots who dare impute their blatant follies to the Holy Ghost. If you feel your tongue itch to talk nonsense, trace it to the devil, not to the Spirit of God. Whatever is to be revealed by the Spirit to any of us is in the Word of God already. He adds nothing to the Bible and never will. Let persons who have revelations of this, that, and the other go to bed and wake up in their senses. I only wish they would follow the advice and no longer insult the Holy Ghost by laying their nonsense at His door." End quote. Amen. Charles Spurgeon did not pull any punches in that paragraph. Okay, so at least I'm in good company if y'all think I'm crazy. So the antics were prevalent in his day, right? 1800s, craziness abroad. So Bethel's book, The Physics of Heaven, claims there are, get this, 300 portals to heaven. Where, may I ask, is this in the New Testament, in the Old Testament? There's 300 portals to heaven. I'm sure one of them is at that crazy loon's house who just says that, you know, if people who have find it very difficult to travel to heaven and back, they find it much easier once they hang around me. As we quoted her last week. They claim positive vibrations can take one to heaven and negative vibrations can cause cancer. Again, Johnny Erickson Tata is only a quadriplegic because she doesn't have enough faith. Let me tell you, Johnny has more faith, real earnest faith in her left pinky nail than all of the faith healers have in their whole entire bodies. Also, they write that 1 Corinthians 1:28. We'll read it in a second, only makes sense when you understand it at atomic and subatomic levels. There's that esoteric knowledge again. So let's read 1 Corinthians 1:28, which you and I can't understand unless we do so at atomic and subatomic levels, okay? And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. In other words, we, by faith, can bring that which isn't into existence. Folks, if you just read the context, 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 context is king. Folks, I've probably listened to 3 podcasts over the last week, 2 of them being on how to teach. You know what the number one rule was? You know what the top 3 rules were? Context, context, and context. And the other one from a different person at a different place at a different time, same thing. Just like real estate, location, location, location. Folks, if we just read the context, most of this stuff is easily dispelled. Just read the paragraph before and after. What in the world does that mean that you have to understand that at atomic levels and subatomic levels? In other words, this come to us. We'll read your cards. We'll read your auras, and then you'll get the esoteric knowledge. Folks, it's New Age garbage with Jesus' name stamped right on it. Just to mention Hillsong briefly, which adheres to the exact same stuff, the pastor Brian Houston had a book literally titled, You Need More Money. That was the pastor's book, You Need More Money. They recite a prosperity prayer. Oh, this is really good. But right before they give the tithe, the offering out, they pray and they pray this thing about, oh Lord, this declarations by this month, by giving this money, oh, by giving, we're going to get all this, this, that. Folks, that's not why you give to God. You give to God because He's already given you the most priceless jewel that you'll ever have, His Son. They recite a prosperity prayer or proclamation or declaration before every offering, claiming that their giving will result in their physical, social, financial, professional prosperity. Literally giving to get. In March 2020, when several hundred thousand people in America had been diagnosed with coronavirus, Bill Johnson from Bethel and several other Word of Faith preachers decreed by the Word of God that COVID ended. Not even 1 million people had it at that time, and they decreed COVID had ended. I think their decree was false. So they had their declaration. That was before their declaration clickers were for sale. $10, you can get one. Every time you make a declaration, you click it up and add them at the end of the day. Boy, and the more declarations you had, the more spiritual you are, and the more stuff's going to come true for you. Well, we know that that was a false prophecy. Bill Johnson said that, quote, as Jesus prayed, remember when He taught us how to pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be our name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, let's let Bill Johnson tell us what that means. On earth as in heaven, it literally means because there is no cancer in heaven, there ought to be no cancer on earth for one who has faith. Firstly, if we take his theology seriously, it should be on earth as it is in heaven, a correlation, one-to-one correlation, then guess what? There's no marriages in heaven, so he needs to not be married, doesn't he? Oh, by the way, are there any of these in heaven? Then why does he wear these all the time? Never trust a prosperity faith healer with eyeglasses. If he can't even fix and get 20/20 vision, how's he going to resurrect your loved one from the dead? A little common sense is all you need. It's all you need. A little bit of common sense. Aren't you glad we're almost done with this? Because I'm sick of this. But it just, I don't like focusing on this stuff. We're going to finish. And if we don't finish tonight, we're done. There's no marriage in heaven. There's no suffering in heaven. There's no persecution in heaven. So Christians, according to his theology, Christians shouldn't have any of that. Has he bloody well read the New Testament even one time? Jesus promises persecution to all who carry his name. Why does Peter say, do not go, should be shocked and alarmed when tribulation comes your way? Goodness gracious, read the Scripture. They are so anti-Scripture, and then they say they believe in the Bible. It's unbelievable. There's no persecution in heaven, so I guess, you know, the believer shouldn't have persecution here. There's no marriage in heaven, so why is he married? And again, there's no eyeglasses in heaven, so why, Bill Johnson, are you wearing eyeglasses while you preach to us that we don't have enough faith to get out of our wheelchairs? Really? I'll abruptly conclude by suggesting one do his own research and look at the teachings to test in light of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things, hold fast to that which is good. How do we know if something's good? If it measures up to the plumb line. The canon of Scripture is all about Jesus. His person and work achieve salvation for the elect of God, the chosen, who repent and receive His Spirit to live righteous lives, being conformed to His image. You see, the world, like the Comedy Central or whoever it was, who was making fun of Benny Hinn's wife because you need a Holy Ghost enema, right? We need not give them any reason to mock us. They're going to have plenty of reason to persecute us. Jesus promised it. In fact, with the promise, though, beloved, He promised this. He said, blessed are you. Blessed are you who are persecuted and reviled, and they say all manner of evil things against you for My name's sake, for righteousness' sake. You see, we're not going to give them a legitimate excuse to mock us. But let me tell you something. If we walk humbly and righteously before the Lord and before man, they are going to do it, but it's going to be illegitimate. Because if you read 1 Peter, he goes, look, if you're punished for doing wrong, you get what you deserve. But if you're punished for doing what's right, they are the ones who will end up being ashamed. And you will be exalted. He who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself, the word of faith teachers, will be humbled and humiliated. Such lives are humble, obedient, and self-sacrificial and serving. Conversely, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Follow the money. Creflo Dollar, the most appropriate named word of faith healer. Dollar. Dollar, holla, holla, I got a dollar. Creflo Dollar, and who was the one who used to say, I'm the king's kid. You darn right I drive a Rolls Royce. I'm the king's kid, you know. Where do you see that in the Old Testament? Where do you see that in the New Testament? Jesus himself didn't come in on this horse. He came in on lowly on a donkey, right? That would have been a yugo back then, right? You go 5 miles down the road, then you go no more. A yugo. I cannot judge hearts, but I'm told to discern whether or not to trust others by observing their fruit. And when you follow the money, you see the priorities of health and wealth while simultaneously devaluing priorities of repentance, righteousness, and warning those of the judgment to come. Because in all their antics, there's no Jesus, there's no repentance, there's no judgment, there's no hell, there's no very, maybe they mention sin, but they don't, it's not really a big deal. Paired with a blatant twisting of scriptures, you should not trust such pundits. And it is from a love of God, His Word, and our neighbor that we warn people of such. There are ample warnings in Scripture of the judgment of false shepherds. And I've got probably at least a dozen here that you can look on your own time, but maybe we'll look at just a few. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer, plenty of those we've just been talking about, dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or wonder, and that sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. See, I wonder, it's like the false, Jesus saved his most scathing condemnation to the false teachers. But let me tell you something, those who continue to put themselves under that, see, God's testing them too. And he's weeding out the phonies. Because if you're going to sit under that for a decade or two or three or more decades, there's no way you could be a true lamb of a sheep of God, because you wouldn't be able to tolerate it not having the word or having a distortion thereof. So I've got so many in here, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, a bunch in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1 John, Jude, to name some references, but I want to conclude. So such ravenous wolves have crept in, Jude 4 calls them that, because the sheep have little or no discernment. We must understand how to read the Bible for all it's worth to be able to spot a wolf in wool. When we know the word, we know the good shepherd and hear his voice and follow him, not the wolves in wool. So that finally concludes our Bethel Andrew Womack study. But Andrew Womack represents all the Word of Faith healers, and Bethel represents all of those charismatic churches who are, I wouldn't say dipped in New Age, they're dipped in the name of Jesus, but they are stuffed with New Age. It's a stuffed New Age with just the skin of the truth, right? Skin of the truth being Jesus, Bible. But once you break the skin, as Jesus said, whitewashed on the outside, full of dead men's bones on the inside. What a picture of the hypocrite that is. So if anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns, yes, Jimmy. No, if you ask something and we've been through it, well, we'll. I guess it would depend on the context. You can cut.